This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The Wicked Ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
If you have a questioning nature and a desire to nourish your essence within, you have reached the realm of truth. Live from inner space, it's the next sequel to Interactive Enlightenment, brought to you by your host, Seven Bomar. Enjoy nonstop breakthroughs, advanced knowledge, and self-discovery to the core of your very essence. Join us as we map the blueprint to the cosmos and dissolve the mysteries of the Matrix. You are now connected to the Keymaker.
Commission.
Wholeness and balance vibration to everyone, and thank you for tuning in to The Keymaker. And wow, we've made it to 2016, and it's just getting started. I guess it's, January 2nd. And I can definitely feel the steam in this year, and we have tons of plans and also expectations from this year. I think it's taken quite a bit of time for the plan to get on this level of consciousness again. And I'll say definitely again, because it does feel very much like a loop and attends to what the reality is experiencing and how it makes its transformations. But before I get started, I will ask if anyone can actually hear me, which someone did confirm that in the chat box. So let me just go ahead and set up a couple themes really quick here, and then we'll get started. All right, so actually today is the season finale. I did have a plan earlier in the season to actually cap this off at a certain amount of shows, only because, you know, it was a very powerful series and it definitely climaxed at a certain point. And then we started drilling into things that I think is going to take some time for us all to really digest. I mean, I think last show we started going quantum. And in that state, there's not really many words that can begin that are adequate to explain what actually one experiences and goes through when they get into the full state of consciousness of total realization. So one of the main things that I'll be doing in today's show is actually finishing up a lot of what was introduced through the series so that everyone gets the maximum amount of clarity that's possible. But of course, because these are archived, it does give everyone an opportunity to go back through things and to see what resonates with you and to continue to expand on what's presented. One of the main things that I was doing before the show was actually, you know, I've been having these massive dreams. And I guess, you know, I talked to a good friend last night about this in regards to, you know, once you start to realize what's going on, not only is there a certain part of unlearning process, but there's also an unraveling that goes on within every aspect of your consciousness, in that these aspects of consciousness actually don't reside in the physicality. And so what we begin to understand is that, let's say, if we were to put it into percentages, let's say 5% of our consciousness actually resides in physicality, while the other 95% actually resides across the spectrum. And so what we've heard it a lot of times about how we're taking up a specific part of the wavelength, that Earth is on a specific wavelength or frequency. And in the event that you come out of that wavelength or frequency, you find yourself into an entirely different realization. But also in that realization, you have a presence there, and many people have found themselves in dreams or in visions as entirely different characters and even entities. You know, sometimes you can get even an animal's eye view in your projection or your vision. You can see yourself lowered to the ground, running around, doing something. Sometimes you can get a bird's eye view. You can find yourself flying through the air and watching things. And in each of these experiences, we gander or go ahead and accept maybe that we're in human bodies. And I find this to be the most interesting thing, because many of us can account to actually never seeing a human body. It's more like even the representation that we have of ourselves now, if it wasn't for mirrors, we would just see more like a voyeur style reality where we're just gliding through it and we're completing functions and we're meeting people, we're seeing things. But of course, we do have bodies in this realm. But when we go into the dream world, we actually see the same way. And sometimes we do less interactions with things instead of grabbing things and working with our hands and stuff. We just kind of gather the experience. And this is something that's, you know, very interesting when you really start thinking about your dreams. And you really start thinking, well, you know, what really happened there? There's a lot of gray areas. Like a lot of times you don't actually see yourself physically doing things with the hands. You more of just go through the experience. And so we're going to talk about today why that is indeed that way. And this is going to unlock within your own consciousness a whole nother level of experience. And one thing that I will say, because now that we've definitely learned a lot about the body and, you know, what to eat and how to eat and, you know, how to keep our frequencies maintained, I can definitely say, though, that our intention is still the greatest power that we can ever have. Because when you truly strive for greatness and you want to really see a more vast side of yourself, it doesn't really matter what's going on around you or even what you may be eating at times. You find that breakthrough and you start experiencing it from the level that you're on. And it's kind of like, to me, some of the first, what I call Diamond Tree or DMT experiences, where it's so aggressive. I mean, what you're experiencing is just flooring you to what you believe is going on in the reality. And there's just so much perception of something greater. But, you know, when you get on your 90th time, you know, the process is completely different. It's more of like an insight. And what I began to realize is that that's highly credited to that once you obtain a certain frequency, you become that frequency. It's not just like, you know, stepping or playing a video game or stepping into a simulator where you're acting out as one thing. And then when you come back, you go right back into an old character. Our consciousness has the ability to, when we expand into it, to remain that way. And then from that level, you're actually perceiving the world, all your experiences, et cetera, from that level of consciousness. And this becomes quite interesting because you start finding that you even forget about that. And then you're constantly looking for, well, what's the next biggest thing? And still you're pulling further and further away from the overall collective frequency on the planet. And then you're moving more and more into what we call the quantum field in the total realization of what you really are, what you're capable of. And of course, this can be rather unnerving if you're interacting with others that are not actually moving at that same pace, which we still find at a very minimum. It's just the truth. And especially this year, you know, I want to make a more of an effort to put more physical actions and also states of consciousness in more locations. I believe that there's a big part of the physical world that requires that if we're going to manifest something into it, then we must be responsible for the labors that tie into manifesting into physical realities versus if you're using the dream spectrum or the dream template, let's say, when you want to imagine something, you can bring it right into play. Many have been in the lucid dream, and the moment you think of something or call it up, boom, it's right there. So it has that genie in a bottle effect. But when you come into the reality and you say, well, I want gold to appear right here, you don't find gold immediately appearing. You find maybe you have to go dig for it. You find maybe you have to go with some great idea and actually begin to make it and create it. And that could take you years to actually begin to manifest. So we know that to be a fact about the reality. Now, there's, of course, a lot of stories always called the 1% of people who say that, oh, well, no, I can get it going on immediately. And, you know, there's that. But if we just look at it truthfully and how it is, it takes labor to actually produce something in the reality. And so what I can say is that the Resistance, Astral Quest, Realm Dynamics, and the many different factions that we've developed and created over these last years have been quite a labor in themselves. I mean, I found myself hours and hours and hours on end, you know, perfecting this and building this. And then always you have the next level of the projection. It's just like if someone can totally visualize or create the vision, they see it complete. But in the physical, you may not even see a log laid down. You may not even see anything put together as far as the foundation until you put it into effect and start building it. So that's, of course, the major challenge with the physical reality is that it demands that we begin to make the actual physical actions to build something. So what I want to talk about in the beginning of the conversation today is about what we're going to be doing this year at Secret Energy. And in fact, it's quite a bit. And we've been building up until this point. It's not like, you know, you can just say, oh, okay, we're going to do a retreat, or, oh, okay, we're going to launch a university for consciousness. And in fact, we find many that just say, hey, why don't you do this? And it's definitely a great idea. But when you look at all the mechanics behind how to get it manifested in the reality, it, you know, oftentimes we bog down and then it doesn't actually come out the way that we want it to. And this is a big part of the manifestation. We must be prepared to deal with even the nook and the cranny of any of these projections and manifestations, like who's taking out the trash, or, you know, who's going to be driving everyone around. And, you know, so even the small stuff, you're actually responsible for delivering. And this could be quite a task, especially if someone sold you on an idea that all you have to do is think and it will be. You know, there's a much more to it than that. So, you know, with grounding, because you must realize how to ground your current. Like if you have a lot of current, right, the energy rolling through the body, a lot of ideas, a lot of innovation, the ground is, or which is synonymous with the color black, is the part of us taking it through the womb of manifestation and then birthing it into the physical reality. And if you ask any woman that's ever gone through labor, the womb actually signifies in many cases the pain. You know, you even have to carry it for a period of time. And I find many people in that stage of their manifestations where they're laboring with the actual manifestation itself. It's still in the generation process. And then at times antagonizes them and gives them agony in a certain tense to why it hasn't manifested yet. But have no fear, it's definitely coming. And the main thing is just to cultivate it as much as possible while it's in your womb or your consciousness of the inception phase, as we call it. So what Secret Energy is doing this year is that we're actually going to be rolling into semester two, which I find is a major thing with how even the university itself is going to go quantum. I've been really in a lot of study about creating diagrams, because there's a lot of stuff that has to be created. And this is, you know, again, the laboring process, because when you find it's like, okay, well, let's develop a system to where we can actually have the blueprint right in front of everyone so they can see what all the correspondences really are, so they can pinpoint exactly where they are in this, because this is not a cookie cutter or a one size fits all. Each person finds themselves on a different level of their consciousness. So how do you develop something that allows them to realize exactly where they are and what they're experiencing and beginning to identify that? And of course, you know, we need those diagrams and those correspondences of the colors and the wavelengths, the frequencies and the cymatics that correspond to those frequencies. So that way we can start becoming triggered by a system that allows us to see, oh, well, I know exactly that I'm here on this phase because everything that corresponds with this phase is actually on this diagram. And it is like that. There's a lot of order to what goes on with becoming cosmic. And that's actually one of the major themes of today's message, is the actual law and order. And of course, we discussed that about two or three shows ago of how the earthly personalities were attempting to mimic the order that goes on above, and in order to actually create a system of, I guess maybe it had good intentions at first, I'm not sure, but a system of order here that actually got out of order. Obviously, when you put people that are subject to making mistakes, which is also okay in these kind of realities, and then you put them in charge of something that's supposed to be perfect, then you're going to get errors. And I find that to be the actual entire embodiment of the physical plane, which is to go through those eras, which actually is synonymous with time or periods of time, in order to perfect it, in order to actually gradually make your way back to your cosmic perfection. But in that process, gaining the experience, because I don't think the universe is really into conversations and just talking about things. In fact, we've already pointed out that, you know, if somebody's telling you about, let's say, how to fly a plane, and then they're also giving you books about how to fly planes, while useful as guidelines, if you actually jump into a plane and begin to fly it, it's still nothing like anything that you could have read or anything anyone could have said. So we find experience to be superior to anything else. And so that's why I believe personally that the universe is about experience. It wants to take you through the actual process in order for you to actually say, yeah, I've really been there and I've really done that, and I actually know what you're going through, rather than empty or vain statements and words. So We're going to be doing that with the university. I plan to actually have things ready to launch around the beginning of March. We're actually creating something massive on the Spirit Tech end. And for those who are not aware of that, that's actually our form of developing something to employ people, because I find many with the same situation to where they're expanding in their consciousness. But of course, the job force is not actually expanding. It still has these rudimentary matrix-based, karma-based or karma-building jobs that when you get involved in, you find yourself twined and entangled back into the same reality that you were in before, just by default. And by association. That's why sometimes you're just guilty by association. So I set out 3 years ago to actually develop karma-free wealth and something that's going to allow people to sustain themselves while they're on the path. And that has been also a labor that's now coming to fruition this year. And the total, not only vision, but I think there's actually 400 specialists now. And we're ready to begin this year to activate those specialists. So if you're looking for more information on that, you can actually go to spirittech.com. That's S-P-I-R-I-T-E-C-H. Yes, spirittechs.com, and you can find out more information by that. But we're going to be, I'm actually overhauling that site now, and there's another site that actually hasn't gone live yet, but that's going to be fully integrated with all the abilities and the potential for a person to succeed within a brand new field of actually assisting others spiritually. We call it spirit tech because a person is basically a technician for spirits. And the spiritual stance of an individual. So, of course, we have these mechanical technicians that know how to fix cars. You know, we have a lot of different kind of technicians, but who has the ability to really go in on an individual and begin to set their spirit in the proper place and to assist them with their expansion? Or likewise, who's providing information to even do something like that? And so that's what we're doing. We've actually collected quite a bit of information from our experience for the last 7 years on the state of consciousness and the different phases of consciousness, whether you're in mansions or whether you're in the hood and or in anything in between, and then what actually is going to allow you to find the balance. And so that's another big thing that we're going to be rolling out this year that's finally coming out of the oven and birthed. So you're looking. So look forward to Spirit Techs and look forward to semester two of the Secret Energy University. And so that's what's going on with that. So again, those diagrams are going to be about chemical transformations. They're going to be about mental accelerations and how to actually chart that based on real integers such as cymatics, such as colors, and things that you can point out in the reality, tones, vibrations, experiences. And it's really going to be our first time with getting a really good collected body of information for those to really begin to trace what's going on. Because let's just face it, I don't think there's been much time over the last, I don't know, hundreds of years, if not maybe thousands of years, where someone has actually made this into a way where it can adapt to what we're experiencing in the reality right now, meaning that it's 2016 now. And so going into things that are 3,000 years ago, I mean, you don't jump into anything at this point, beside on the spiritual aspect, which actually doesn't exist in time, but you don't use anything from 3,000 years ago. You don't have a 3,000-year-old toothbrush in your bathroom. You don't have a 3,000-year-old TV. You don't have a 3,000-year-old computer. So we have to get familiar with moving with the time, as the Way of Changes tells us, which is the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It talks about becoming familiar with change and always being familiar with that in order to remain innovative and begin to turn your clock to match up with what's going on in the overall scope of the cosmos. So definitely we've been doing that, and that's been connecting us a lot synchronistically. So we find ourselves at times so synchronistic that, or so synchronistically in tune with one another, that even what I'm expressing or explaining is the exact same thought a person may have had a few days before or a few days prior or even a couple days after, et cetera, even without hearing the recording. So this is because we're actually all working towards the same thing, whether we understand it, or believe it or not. And the more that we can begin to connect to that and let's say, strive for that. I use that word because strive also has this connotation of where it may be a little bit turbulent on your way. And so I never have been a big fan of telling anyone that is listening to me that this is going to be easy, because I don't want you to get accustomed to things that are easy. I think this is kind of like a recliner chair reality. And everyone just wants it served to them. And realistically, I believe that our ancestors were very familiar with labors and very familiar with when something needs to be created or manifested, all the energy and all the time that was going to be necessary in putting that together. And they had it had become to a point where that wasn't a problem for them to handle. It's like someone who starts off, let's say, scrawny, and then starts going into the gym and starts working out, and then they find that they can actually lift heavier weights with ease. And then the next person who comes in may find themselves struggling, but because of the actual intentions that have been put in the process of actually getting stronger, you find it easier. So that's really how I look at this, that this reality requires that you build yourself up and get stronger and get ready. Excuse me, get ready to face whatever is necessary for you to face jubilantly. So also one of the things that we're going to be doing finally, and many have asked about this for years, is when we're going to do a retreat. And I find this to actually be very instrumental to many people gaining insight on what's going on here, especially with me in Costa Rica, and also what we plan to do to educate people abroad. And I find that you can actually do those simultaneously. And for all that it's worth, you really have to understand that if someone is actually here in the physical and I'm talking to them, it's a lot more different than actually communicating over this microphone to what really is just imagination that someone's actually listening. Like, I could be sitting here all day and let's say nobody showed up today for whatever reason. And, you know, I could be talking. So that also has a certain effect on the consciousness because you're not actually talking directly to someone versus when you're on the ground, the conversation is totally intrinsic to the energies that's in the environment and the people that are readily available and hearing that. So I think that even those who won't get a chance to actually visit us here, they still will begin to benefit off of the information that's put forth because I'll be giving it to people who are actually on the ground and experiencing that. And of course, we'll be capturing it in every aspect. I have a new plan of bringing 360 degrees of broadcast, meaning actually allowing people to see things from every single angle. And obviously, YouTube just rolled out its 360-degree part of YouTube, so you can actually even see that now. You can find 360-degree videos on YouTube, such as plane flights and those kind of things, to where you can take your mouse and you can scroll all over the environment. And even if you have one of those, you know, cheap Google cardboards or whatever that you can stick into your phone, you can actually use your head as a method of looking through the entire environment. So again, you know, staying innovative and staying ahead of this so that way we can actually head off ignorance at the pass so it doesn't ultimately continue to run its course of destruction and all of what's been going on in the reality. So really turning things around and putting them into balance. So we got about 4 more minutes on this first segment. So before I get into the message, let me check over my notes here. And actually, yeah, another thing that we're not just going to be doing, but it's already in the effects of being built. And you can actually check it out. There's some placeholders in place. So, you know, don't critique the content that's there right now. We've just really been building in the functionality and getting it up. And that's at Secret Energy. You'll now find at secretenergy.com/news. A page that is being constructed that's actually going to give you all the real-time information on every single aspect of life within the world, not just, you know, that one period that we deal with called consciousness that we're rapidly attempting to merge into every aspect of our lives, but something that actually is all-encompassing. And so that includes, you know, health and food, recipes, advice, tips on ascension, and all of what you really see from any kind of major social network, but of course, Secret Energy style, meaning that we won't just be sharing what everyone else is sharing, and then, you know, just like a copy-paste like we see with many of the sites that actually boast millions of viewers. You find that, as we've done much research, that many of these sites are actually all a part of the same corporation, if you may, and that many of these sites are actually set up to do pay-per-click and just get money off of people clicking on things that are related to these sites. And I'm not going to name any names, but you probably have seen some of these sites now. And even on Facebook, you find everyone gravitating to these social networks. And then when you get there, it's like, you know, the five top ways to, you know, in oneness with your lover. Okay. So then you go in there and then it has some just default stuff that you already know. And then you go to another site and then they got the same, almost the same post, except for maybe it's six. And so when we did a lot of research, we actually found out that it's all the same outfit, and they're actually using consciousness as a way to drive more money into their pay-per-clicks, which are also all over the site. So I feel like people definitely deserve a real, insight into what's happening in the world, but also through the filters of those who are conscious. So that's another one of the major things, is we're just going to be expanding into other levels of content, so that way we're just not into, hey, this is what's going on spiritually. So for us, Secret Energy and the rest of the factions, all the people that are involved, the organic collective, as we call it, the mainframe, the communication, organic communication grid over the earth, we're expanding even more this year than ever. Like I said, we not only have expectations as if, you know, we're looking for someone to do it for us, but we're actually making those actions to do it. So we just ask that, well, actually, I wanted to say personally thank you to everyone for their patience, because again, you know, this is a whole entirely different thing when you're bringing consciousness. You actually, as we'll talk about today, especially when we get back from the break, we'll talk about the direction and the cycle that universes, or the physical part of the universe, moves in, planets move in, and how sometimes that could be directly contrary to those who don't want to die, or those who want to be very innovative about their spiritual consciousness, and those who want to control their own destiny. So when you're doing that, you do face indeed a great deal of turbulence, and it's like a swim upstream, as I put on my Facebook. But that swim upstream, of course, if you actually learn how to swim that, the development of all your faculties, mind, body, and soul, begin to increase. So in effect, you actually begin to earn the ability to begin to control your own projection, your own manifestations. But make no mistake that it is definitely something that you have to put your time, your energy, and your attention into, and you won't find necessarily everyone around you so readily available to do that. But as we continue to expand more, you'll find more people. So we're going to go to this first break. And then when we come forward, as I always say, we're going to go ahead and get started with today's message. And again, thank you for participating. It's going to be an amazing message today, but we've had an amazing series. So there's no reason to not, you know, like we always talk about, finish strong of season one, The Keymaker.
Strange World with Mark Sargent. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
As ancient as the sun, we came from the ocean, once our ancestral home, so that one day we could all return. Our birthright, the great celestial dome. We are the children of the sun. Our journey's just begun. Some flowers in our hair. We are the children of the sun.
And we are forward, and it's time to get it hyped up. And some people said that they're actually getting just a few breakups in the conversation. So we've decreased some of the bandwidth that's coming from other areas. So you should experience more of a consistent broadcast. And so let's get into it. So, okay, so what happens from this point? And this is why I actually chose to personally in season one, because season two has to be made up of an entirely different dynamic. I think that we may actually have to move back into video and move back into things that are going to allow us to show you versus just talking, because obviously the words, when you're going quantum, could actually become a big hang up because you just cannot explain what's going on. You find yourself repeating the same thing over and over again. So I've definitely began to notice that, but we're not going to let that hold up our progress either. So I have a plan. I have a plan to sit down and really think about season two of The Keymaker and how we can continue to increase the knowledge without, and also decrease the confusion. So because every part of this, from here especially, but every part of your life that you're experiencing, whether you have realized it or not, and most have, is a paradox. And obviously a paradox is when two opposing things or things that are not actually supposed to even go together are actually occurring. And so anyone who's trying to explain a paradox even looks a little bit silly. So, you know, the part of the paradox is, you know, you're a male and a female. Those are supposed to be the two most opposing things on the reality, but yet you're embodied with both. You have this positive and negative energy, something that when put together is supposed to actually short out and to cause, you know, a major disruption. Your spirit and flesh, two things that are actually supposed to not be together according to, you know, church and state and all the rest of these organizations of who always try to keep those two existences polarized. And so just think about it. Every single aspect of who we are is a paradox. And so what we've been doing is we've been using these very rudimentary, crude tools to actually explain our existence. And part of that is the language. Part of that is even using the mind to start to begin to expand into massive levels of spiritual awakening, etc. And so I wanted to start off again in this part of the segment talking about why we're actually not divided, because that's another big part of the paradox is we see ourselves, you know, really is me, sometimes me against the world kind of mentality to where, you know, each person's living in their own house. You know, each person has their own unique way of being. And it goes on and on and on. And in that, we build this aspect of division to actually identify ourselves amongst the sea of others that appear to be different. But at the same time, there's so many commonalities from each person having a soul, each person having desires, each person having even the ability to love and to have compassion, that we find that there's this collective field. And we talked about that the other day about how when you learn how to access that collective field, it actually begins to break the laws of physics, because it literally leaves the aspect of just physical things. And then it goes into this different mainframe, if you may, that allows you to actually move across time. You can remote view. So we actually came up with a easier explanation of this. And it's like the telephone or even the internet connection, let's say. Like some people are actually listening to me over, let's say, a tablet device. It's not even plugged into anything. It's not even plugged into Ethernet. Who uses that anymore? You know, a direct Ethernet cord into your computer. It's mostly people are listening wirelessly, but yet you're hearing me. So just from that technological standpoint, which we can reverse engineer here in a moment, you're hearing me across something that you can't actually see. And this is why I was saying that most of who we are doesn't actually exist in the physical. This is another major example, because everything is really about communication. The more communication we have and connection we have with each other, the more empathic we become. I don't actually have to ask you, what do you like, or what do you need to eat, or what do you want? There's no interruption with just thought, like, or questions or language. I know. Right. And many people have been around those who become so connected with them. They know what the person needs and knows what the person wants, sometimes even before they know. And this is because they're tapping into them on a different level that doesn't have anything to do with communication verbally. But if we get tied into this system of verbal communication, then it can actually begin to hold us back, especially when we want to go quantum. If we get tied into thinking that we have to read it in a book every time we want to learn it, it can hold us back. Now, I'm not saying that that's not the beginning process. Remember, you have to crawl before you walk. Some automatically want to go quantum, but it is the experience that is most necessary. Going from the process of even being somewhat dense to all this to the entire plan of your awakening, and that being able to map out every single point at minimum gives you the ability to instruct others that are around you, those that you may love and care for until you learn to love and care for everyone, to allow them to expand and to realize what part of this are they on that you also visited and that you also were experiencing. So just remember, there's this upgrading that's constantly been going on. And we talked about last show how technology is plagiarizing everything that it's creating and doing from spirituality. So this means that just as, you know, it used to be, you know, corded phones all over the house. You know, you got the long 100-foot cord that when it would catch a short, you would have to move the cord around and shake the cord and, you know, dragging the phone all the way to the other room. And I remember those days. And then all of a sudden, you know, this 900 megahertz or 400 megahertz phone, wireless phone came into the house. And then now nobody needed the cord anymore, but you couldn't go all the way to the other side of the house until this 1200 megahertz. So see, it's all about this continuous increase of communication. And then now, of course, we communicate from the top of the vault, from the top of the, from space. There could be a communication and transmission beamed down all the way to the core almost of Earth because of the ability to go further in our aspects of creation. So when we look at that, or communication, so when we look at that from a spiritual level, we find that nothing is different. If everyone is still using this rudimentary communication system called verbal speech, English, etc., to begin to communicate with each other, then it's like almost using a very outdated computer to try to run some rather modern, current, heavily intensively coded software. It doesn't actually work out that way. So we're encouraged then to begin to find out how we're going to increase the megahertz of our communication and our connection, because communication is connection. And the reason why we know that is if you get into the house with someone and let's say just on this regular aspect, you don't say anything to them and it's your first time ever running into them, then you don't actually learn much about them. You don't bond with them. Let's say if you go to a party and then there's tons of people there and then there's still a large group of people you never talk to or don't even know, then there doesn't become a link or a connection between you and them on the basic rudimentary level of this physical density. So when you start to communicate with them and talk to them, so where are you from? So what's your name? So, you know, you may get a little bit deeper. What's your zodiac sign? You know, what do you like to do? Hey, do you listen to this person? And so the more you establish more communication, the more depth you gain of the individual. So if you look at that on the spiritual level, we find the same, it's the same thing. And this is also where compassion comes in, because if you don't really care about anyone, even if you're so-called spiritual, and then you walk into the room, you're still actually speaking on another wavelength. It's always present. That's why in the paradox, everything is actually there. And let me explain that. So even when we created, let's say, for instance, before wireless phones, the concept of how that works was already here. The ether was already here. The wires, let's say even before before wireless, let's just talk about wired communication. Everything was already here. The copper was here, the coils that need to make the coils, the form of communication, the lines, the electricity, all that stuff was here, but it was in a different format. So it took, let's say, an alchemist to come in and to create a formula of how to use it for communication, and how to stretch out those phone lines across the world and to get those operators going on. So when you look at that on the spiritual level, you find the same thing. And this is why I'm telling you, it is the brink of quantum, because you'll actually start to realize in your solace, in your Zen moment, that, hey, this is how it's always been. Every single component that is necessary for me to even go into time travel is here. But what it still remains is for me to actually find the formula, for me to get the right weights, measurements, and connections that are necessary for me to actually make that possible. So sometimes, though, it's like talking to people before the telephones came out. You're like, well, look, you know, I think that we can send these vibrations across these electronic wires. And as long as it vibrates at the same tone of what we're saying, then the person should be able to hear it. And this person could be looking at you like, man, that's demonic, or that's about doing spells, or, you know, that's not possible. But yet now we've gone even further. We made the quantum leap to where we don't even need the lines. So this is the same kind of quantum leap that is needed in consciousness, to where, you know, when these old rudimentary methods of just kind of sitting around in full lotus and breathing, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them. There was nothing wrong with sending letters to each other. But what I'm saying is we have to get prepared for what comes next. And then more than anything, prepare yourself to develop what comes next. Because when we leave it up to someone else to actually do the labor, what we do also is we rob ourselves of possibly creating a legacy for ourselves, but we also slow things down. And in a field where everyone expects another person to do it, then that's going to slow down the entire reality. And of course, now we've pretty much figured out that the world is a receptacle. It's the urn. Even when I say you, like you, It's a U. A U is a vessel. Look at it visually. When you write U, it's a vessel. It's something that's used to hold something. So the bodies are the same way. They're vessels. They're used to hold the spirit. So in that sense, it's always receiving. And most of the time when you run into something or run into somebody, they always want to receive something. They're not really too big on the giving thing, but they want to receive something. It's like, yeah, give me some knowledge. Give me some money. You know, give me this, give me this, give me, give me, give me. And it's because there's an overall programming to allow people to really be receptive and just to receive rather than to actually to give or actually to begin to be the originator, let's say, or the creator, let's say. And so that's an aspect of the reality, but you contain both. You can send and receive. And so when you get those two into balance, you find yourself in a position to where you realize that it's some, even the your great grandmother, your grandmother may have said, you know, it's better than to give. It's better to give than to receive, baby. Why? Because at least you have the ability to give rather than waiting for someone all day to give you something. You're in a better position because anytime you want something to happen, you can make it happen. You don't got to wait for anyone to actually make it happen for you. Slowing down your time, slowing down your change, slowing down your manifestation, right? But remember, because there's a lot of mimicking of the cosmic force going on here from the different factions, such as secret societies and Catholic movements, all the phallic movements, such as the papacy and, you know, anyone generally using the P's, the popes, the pastors, the pulpit, you know, all the P's as actually the phallus is in the penis, that kind of projection, look at all these are P words, the projections into the reality, they need receptacles. But we talked about before how that projector is actually known as the subjective plane. It's basically a space with unlimited energy and the potential to really give you a limitless amount of anything. That's what they're attempting to mimic. And it's because that consciousness, if you even want to call it that, knows that anything that you make from that, it could take direct responsibility for it. So if I make something out of things that are created from the earth, then it lives through that. So if I make something out of copper, the copper is still there and it's living through that. Even if I shape, form, and fashion it into a doll or into a telephone or into a telescope, whatever, it's still actually existing as that. So that's the power of being subjective, is to actually give and to be able to live through what is created from what you have given. Okay? So these are the dynamics of the cosmos. This is how the cosmos works. So when you start tapping into that, then you realize more and more about what's really happening to you. And also you begin to be on that journey, that EverQuest, which actually is quite entertaining and quite fun. That's when you're beginning to become stimulated by yourself. It's fun to be you. So the real mystery here is that you're actually not divided. We live in a reality that attempts to divide everything because that's what physical realities are for. And I'm going to show you that. So it's not actually a product of necessarily someone trying to keep you divided all the time, even though we have that going on. It's actually the overall aspect of the physical reality. So it goes deeper than someone actually plotting against you. It actually goes into, well, any physical realities are actually developed on division, while the cosmos is actually always together. And we know this because the physical realities are created with the geometry and with the mathematical equations of phi. And phi is like the king of division. Phi is like literally dividing something into so many pieces that for the person who's perceiving it, it looks like it's a lot of different things, but it's all the same thing being divided into just different parts. And that's why pie is almost like the word pie itself, like eating pie. You're taking a piece of the pie, but each piece of the pie actually contains a part and all the ingredients of the whole pie, but you're just not getting all of it. And again, I was talking to my good friend Josh Bear the other night or last night, and we had to start talking about, well, what does the word quantum mean? It actually means, in a sense, your allotment, all of it, meaning the quantity. So you have to begin to ask yourself, well, what really belongs to you? Is it just what you have in the physical reality? Are you accepting that? Because that's the big play. I used to call it crumbs from the master's table, per se. If they're just telling you, well, you know, this is you, you know, Judy, you look in the mirror, this is you. And then, you know, you got, this is your job. You know, this is all basically what's yours is what's in this house and what's in your bank account. And then just getting into the whole physical aspect of things when that may be at best 5% of what really belongs to you. So this kind of allows us to segue into the next stage of our consciousness of realizing what quantum really is. Quantum is your allotment. It's actually all of what belongs to you. But we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you cannot fit all of what belongs to you in a physical reality. It's impossible. So anyone that is attempting to go quantum just from the physical reality aspect is in for a surprise, because it's actually not possible. Everything that you really are and all of your being can actually be contained. So notice how the reality is all configured for everyone to be vessels, to contain a part of something that is quantum and unlimited. And this is why we find this bogged down at times to where it's like frustration, because it's like, well, you know, how can I, you know, get to the next level, and how am I going to allow this to work? And I'm going to tell you how. First, again, understanding that you have less necessarily two sides of you, that there is the quantum side of you, and then there is the divided side, let's say. But you can't even call the quantum a side, and that's what makes a paradox. So the only way to come into realization of this, because right then already the words become very limited to what I'm trying to explain. It's like, well, wait a minute, run that back by me one more time. I didn't actually understand what you said. And it's because you can't actually use words to begin to explain it. We talked about that last episode, is that we're starting to run to a limitation here with the words, because there's no aspect of your greatness that's been encoded into the words. That's why it serves the ability to keep people from that unless they divine it, right? And divining something is pulling it from an entirely different space. It's the Zen. And in the Zen, see, the Zen allows you to operate on the quantum level, versus the dualistic aspect of things doesn't do that for you. You see? So think about it. So if you're trying to process something with just this regular state of mind, it doesn't actually allow you to get very far. It just keeps you right there in that whole framework of where the limitation of the English language is. So this is like, let's make it simpler, the basketball player who is thinking about playing the basketball all the time. They're playing it, and they're trying to shoot the shot, and they're thinking about the distance from them and the shot, and they're just trying to use logic to play something that is based more on the development of your consciousness. And you may think that, you know, hey, no, we're talking about basketball, but no. What happens when a basketball player gets into the zone, right? Now, we know the zone is the Zen. They're almost the same word. But when the person gets into the zone, all of a sudden they're making the shot. Shot's going in. They're already at half court. They didn't even look to see if the shot went in. They're just looking to go half court, get the rebound, turn the thing over again, boom, shoot the shot, come back. And you can see players when they get into that Zen or zone, and then they start operating on more than that dual core logic processor that actually holds up the progress of being able to realize the quantum aspect of your own consciousness. Like, where is everything at, and how, like, think about, who am I and where am I at? And you're doing that in English, talking to your mind. It's not possible. Of course, more people have figured out who they really are in the deep levels of Zen and meditation. Right. So let's understand the difference between these two levels of communication with self, and which one is more adequate to deal with what we're talking about here when we're talking about expanding, and then not getting frustrated when you're not making much progress because you're still using that rudimentary side of your consciousness to begin to develop your level of expansion. OK, so this is where you will find that errors come in. And this is nothing's out of line here. If you don't find your level of expansion because you're thinking all the time or using English language, then nothing's actually wrong. Everything is obeying its properties and its principles. What's necessary is for you to get into the Zen, which allows you to begin to open up your quantum field and your quantum aspect. So I say here that we're using a specific part of our brain to process things, and it's not adequate to reach our quantum potential. And that's actually what's going on, is that this reality, if you notice with the programming, the Walt Disney and all this, is actually triggering a certain part of the mind. Some people say that that's the reptilian side of the brain. But truly, when you study that side of the consciousness, it is very logical. It actually doesn't have the ability to go into even gandering. It's not used very well for imagination. It's not used very well for, let's say, OBE. And being able to actually perceive things at great distance. This is telepathy. None of that part of the brain is actually used to do that. And English also functions in that reptilian side of the brain. So this means that it goes on more to prove why you can't go into this great expansion of yourself with just this whole level of the rudimentary side of our consciousness that has been embedded with us and that we've been using, that has actually really, if anything, trapped us into physicality and the belief that physicality is the only thing, despite all the evidence around us that shows us that actually more exists out of what you can actually, out of the areas and boundaries of what you can see than what you can see. Like, you can't even see air, yet we exist on it, oxygen, yet we exist on it, breathe it, need it every single day in order to function. And in fact, that's one of the primary, if not the primary thing that we need on the reality, we can't actually see. So the next thing is to now to map this out in a way where it becomes simple for us to, like, okay, well, simplify this for me, because I'm big on simplifying. We're still dealing with now, I guess this is quantum mechanics. This is singularity. You know, all these have big words. This is physics. You know, all this stuff that, you know, personally in school, these are the classes that I did not take and wanted to skip. And I'm glad I did, because they talk about how when you learn, you know, the way that the world wants to teach you, you find yourself at times having to unlearn, because it's in using those same rudimentary building blocks. There's no real parables to explain it by. Like, today the conversation has to be filled with many other examples of it, like the basketball player, et cetera, for us to begin to grasp what we're really talking about, because, you know, we're not sitting on these massive PhDs, and nor do we need to. So to simplify it, it's the curve and the straight line. Now, notice how, like I said before, that the cosmos is actually the real law and order. And a real term for that that becomes symbolic is the ruler. Right? The cosmos is controlling things. It's controlling things from the cosmic level. That's why people say, well, whatever the universe, and the universe has me doing this and blah, 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 because there's an acknowledgement that things are controlled on this greater level. As above, so below. There's a greater level that projects, and then we're experiencing things in the physical reality after the projection. So that can be seen as actually the straight line, because we have to begin to solve all of this. And even in the past, in confusion, you could demonize the straight line, and some people have demonized the curve, but let's solve them both. So the straight line is the rule, also known as the ruler, right? Because when you use a ruler, it's a straight line. And it gives you exact, precise measurements of whatever it is that you're trying to measure. Okay, and we're about to go into this next break here, so I'm just going to finish this, just part about the straight line. So the straight line is the law and the order. And the reason why that's necessary, actually, I have to probably continue when we come back from break, but the reason why that's necessary is, on a cosmic level, there must be some kind of order, because if there wasn't, then everything would slam into each other. There would be no earth for anyone to actually have experiences in if there wasn't that aspect of, hey, let's get into order. Okay, and order is also about no time. And this is a big thing. Think about it. No time, because in time, that means that there's a future. That means that there's something to come that we don't actually know about yet. And if you're to maintain order, you can't actually have anything like that. You must know what's going to happen in the past, what's going to happen in the future. And that's also what the cosmos is really involved in. The cosmos knows every action and every reaction. That's why it's actually quantum. It knows every single aspect of whatever is going to be and whatever is going to come. And so in many tenses, it's seen as a father. And this is how it gets somewhat polarized, because it's only used as a reference to the states that you're dealing in. We're not talking about human men. We're not talking about human females. We're talking about just using points of our consciousness to begin to explain what space is going on. And that's why a lot of people went into confusion and thinking that God was a man, blah, blah, blah. God's the cosmos sitting in heaven, blah, 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 blah. And this is the degradation of the knowledge. But truly, when we come forward, we'll talk more about it, and then it'll make a lot more sense to you if it hasn't already.
are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
Your protection from deception. This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Give me some.
Right, here we go. So, you know, when we left off to the break, we were talking about the cosmos and we were talking about its perfection. And the reason for this is truly because, you know, if you're going to party all day, if you're going to have fun, if you're going to do, you know, everything you want to do, someone has to maintain all of that. It's like, if you're not going to be responsible for your actions and your activities, then you have to go through this process of experience and learning and, you know, who knows what your whole reason and purpose for being here is beside you. While all that's happening, something has to actually keep this in order and to allow this to continue to go on. So what that's really about is it's cosmic. And the order of the cosmos is actually what allows all this stuff to be hosted. Because in the event that there's actually no order, then you actually get complete chaos and then nobody's able to exist. So in many aspects, that has always been seen as the more the masculine side of the consciousness. Because in a tense, it could be very stern, hence the term ruler. It could be sometimes boring, hence why there's never anything new going on, because there's no such thing as new. And the reason for that is because if there's something new going on, then it's unexpected. And when something unexpected is going on, that means there's a margin for error. And if there's errors going on, that means that there could be the potential for disaster. And if disasters happen, that means that the entire thing could just come unhinged. So that's why there's the straight line, which is the cosmos, and then there's its diametric opposition, the curve, also known as planetary systems or the physical reality. So the more you begin to think about this and connect this to everything that you're experiencing in the reality, the more it begins to solve some of the major questions and conundrums that you've been dealing with all of your life, maybe even across lifetimes, because you actually contain both. As we talked about in the first part of the message, that you have this curve and this straight line. You have this flesh and you have this spirit. However, your partialness to one or the other actually determines which one you believe more in. And few have actually been able to keep balance between the two. The balance exists there because we're male and female, we're the paradox, we're cosmos, we're spirits. It's there, meaning all the equipment is there, but it doesn't mean that we understand fully how to keep it in balance and how to actually utilize it. That's the same thing we were talking about with things like the telephone and wires and cables being present, but nobody ever wiring it together, putting electricity together and realizing that, hey, we can communicate over this thing. So that's actually the stage that humanity finds themselves in now, is that you have most people in the curve side of their mentality going through the experience, capable of making mistakes, living in time, and all of what comes with that. And then on this outer aspect, people always say, well, you know, well, God, you know, God's going to watch over us. They're saying basically law and order, things that keep everything straight. Look over me because I'm about to act a fool down here and I'm about to do whatever I want. And I make mistakes and this is how I am. And so there's actually many stories tied into this, like mythical stories, even within the Watchers, fallen angels, all those kind of stories are actually tied into this, because what you find is that when we try to explain this whole perfect order, even they get this, you know, being known as God, and then this court of angels, perfect too, and then them being used to control stars and celestial bodies and keeping everything in order and doing the wills and the commands of God. And meanwhile, you know, we've bought this into characters with wings, characters with physical bodies, because people are still using that same side of their mind, that reptilian brain, to actually perceive what actually is going on the quantum level. When on the quantum level, for the main thing that there isn't is more than one. There's the collectivity. There's only singularity there. See, physical realities have that. There's billions, 7 billion or 7 billion humans on one planetary system, all these different elements. But see, that's not how order is maintained. And this is also why the closer you move to a cosmic state of consciousness, your singularity, you get more synchronistic, right? People who move towards that part of their consciousness that is cosmic, they start having synchronicities with those who are also moving into that cosmic area. And this is because in that area, it is actually what we will refer to as a quantum processor. It doesn't make mistakes. And this is why many people see something like a code when they go into this aspect and they use their third eye. They start seeing these codes and everything, because that's the quantum processor. The quantum processor moves on a perfect language, if you may, of vibration and cymatics, that when reading that field, it knows everything that's going to happen, everything that will happen. If something needs to be brought about, it knows the exact formula how to bring that about in an instant. You see? And so there's no lag there. There's none of what we call time. And so what this actually creates when you dig deeper into this is you realize that you actually have this oversoul, if you may. Some call it the oversoul, some call it the watcher, some call it many different things, stationed by you. Okay? And some have gone on to thinking that each person has their own one, right? Like their own individual watcher, guardian angel, oversoul, whatever. But then that's because of still not realizing that actually the cosmos doesn't deal with the whole division thing. That's how it's keeping itself in order. In fact, order, even the term, means collected and together. It has nothing to do with different ones. Okay? So when we perceive what's really happening, and this is why at one point, okay, when I went through the sun in this massive experience that was happening, and once I got through the sun, all I saw was a field of continuous, like, all the same thing. It was just like, it appeared to me like light. I was just overwhelmed by it. And I said, well, man, now I realize what's going on. The sun is not actually an orb. It's a hole. And what's happening is that from whatever's on the other side of that hole is limiting, it is limiting how much we see in this reality by only making a hole that big. So when and this is actually how projectors and things even work, that so whatever's on the other side of the sun is, if the hole opened all the way up, it's like the hole of a womb. If it opened all the way up, then we would be completely exposed to everything on the other side, and there would be a total merger immediately. And this is because you can't actually maintain this division when you're in that field. So I believe that even the stars or the vault of heaven, even as the Egyptians depicted, the combatants depicted it, are actually below that point. And so at night, we see all these stars in division and these different points and stars and constellations, because that's us. That's how we're existing on the physical reality. We are these emanations of divided light. But the major point, the hole that you go through, so it's almost like holes poked into a fabric. If you hold it up, you can see, if you hold it up to a light, you can see the light leaking through the holes. But if you happen to go through one of those holes, which is actually what I believe is the breakthrough, you come out to this other side that is overwhelming with energy, i.e. the subjective plane. And you are immediately encouraged right away to merge. To merge into the order of everything. And personally, I believe that if there's no tampering with a person's life and death process, this is actually where they go. And when you leave here, you go there. And if there's no tampering with the life and death process, you actually meet and reconnect with all your ancestors, great-great-grandmother gone, all these people that you supposedly love. When there's no tampering, and I keep saying that because I find evidence of tampering of this process, You know, we just have to save that for another show. But when you get through there, then there's just only totality. And that totality is, there's no time, there's no et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I keep saying it, but, you know, it just takes a minute to grasp this. But once you do, it starts to answer everything for you, because then you realize, well, that's what the worlds are. Worlds are imperfect. And this is why you see nature. And this is not to say one is better and one is worse. We're beyond all that. It's just one has to be in one aspect and the other one has to be the other. And they can't overlap, because the only way you can create something different is to have two different aspects. But excuse me, I didn't mean to say they can't overlap, because they actually, our creation is the overlapping. Our sheer embodiment is the overlapping. We're created with the cosmos and we're created with physicality. We're the overlap. We're the gap. We close the gap. Excuse me. We are the elements that are used to close the gap. That's what I said. Well, shoot, it looks like me. The cosmos is using us as a quantum processor, because we are the ones that are bridging the gap. Okay. So in that bridging process, what we realize is that when you look at nature, not anybody else, forget physical people, let's go to trees. Trees are actually in a process of moving through time to go to their death. You know, some people are like, well, you know, they don't even like to even look at nature like that. But if we want to be truthful here, everything you witness in nature, it grows older. It may, some things have longer lifespans, but it grows older and then it withers away and then it dies. And then it regenerates and it comes back again. And this is to prove that nature, not human beings, not just human beings, not the Illuminati, not any of that, is actually in the process of the cycle of death and then regeneration and then rebirth. That's its whole forte. So when you're on physical planes, it is natural then for you to go through this process of aging and then death. That's all a part of the curve. That's what it is. It's a circle. It creates what we call time, right? Even the circles on the tree. See, this is the reason why this is episode 9, because this, it ties it all together. It just takes a minute. You may have to go back to episode 1 and do it all again, but you start seeing that there's so many connections to what I'm saying right now. It cannot be refuted. And then what happens is that, so when you begin to realize this, you say, okay, well, so if nature is moving in this one direction, when you choose to go cosmic in a physical plane, you are naturally swimming upstream. If everything here is going towards a certain direction of time, and then here you are, you want to go back or forward or whatever direction it is, you're going to be going in a different way than where everything is going, even nature in the reality. So that's why I say, you know, you're going against the nature of things, because you're attempting to become cosmic. So then this is what happens. Because you have these guardians, let's say, it's actually more of a frequency to keep things in line. Let's say nature is going to do what nature does. The cosmos is going to do what the cosmos does. And then here you are strung in between. This is kind of like, to me, the Messiah on the cross. You know, you're just kind of stretched in between two planes, and each one of them are attempting to pull you apart in the position that you're in. So those who want to live forever, those who want to be omniscient, all the characteristic of a cosmic being in a physical reality find this turbulence, to even where nature is attempting to oppose your actions, meaning the nature of the reality is attempting to oppose your actions of going quantum, because you're still in a field, you know, using the language, et cetera, still in a field that doesn't actually promote that. So this is why when you start making those transformations and those shifts within your consciousness, you then get a chance to realize what all this is about and how to enter into it, why you face certain challenges, you know, why this went on, why it seems like everything is against you and all this. And then when you learn all that, you find the balance. And that's why through these procedures, it becomes literally like you earn the ability to be a cosmos, to be a planet, to be the Lord of your own life, the master of your own universe. You've earned all that. You've gone through all the labors. They say, you know, the labors of Hercules. You've gone through all these labors to actually achieve that. And anyone around you that's saying, well, it's simple and it's going to, you know, you don't have to go through it that much. These people are still in denial. And there's a lot of people in denial. You know, anytime a person wants to do something and they just want to do it, they're going to find reasons to do it. Like there was someone asked very briefly in the conversation, is a case in point. Someone asked in the message chat, hey, is it OK if I'm trying to reach a higher state of consciousness to smoke cigarettes? My answer is no. Why? Because, see, the word cigarette is one word. There's 4,000 chemicals in there. So what English does is they take one word to try to explain 4,000 different things. So it hides it. And we talked about that before. The language hides all of what it really represents. So it's not just cigarettes as one word. It's actually the 4,000 chemicals that prevent being able to go into a higher state of consciousness. But if you want to smoke anyway, person's going to say, well, you know, I just don't feel like that. I feel like if I have the right level of mental power, then I can overcome the toxins in cigarettes. And this is kind of like the madness. So just remember, it's not good to push that kind of stuff off on everyone else. But if you want to do something, remember, you're going to do it anyway. But the watcher, let's say, the aspect of yourself that's cosmic is always going to be at its station to only prevent you from doing something that's going to throw off divine order. What do I mean by that? So what we found out is what magic really is the ability to, from here, from the physical, to affect things that are cosmic, to actually basically slam planets together, to cause chaos in the space of order. So you can say it's a frequency. I would encourage people not to look at this as it's an actual being there because it's omniscient. But there's an actual frequency that attempts to prevent that all the time. So this is why miracles have always been tied into angels, have always been tied into preventing things that were just going to throw you offline, period. Because it's not just going to throw you offline here. It's going to breach in the cosmic. And so that's why, you know, there is a wavelength. There is a threshold for mistakes. Like some mistakes, yeah, you may go to jail. You may lose a limb. You may hurt yourself, whatever. But in mistakes to where you kill others and even terminate yourself, the order is going to do as much as it can to prevent that. And that's also why you have these factions who attempt to duplicate that order, like the Catholic Church, which kind of goes into the governments and it goes into the police and it goes into, because they're mimicking, attempting to bring, let's say, the order of the cosmos onto the planet. But then you can see how chaotic it's going to be, because then something is in the space that actually doesn't belong in the space. It's the same thing. It's like, okay, well, we're going to bring the model of the cosmos on a physical planet, but the physical planet is still on a frequency of nature. So again, I'm not going to drill into this too much because it can get a bit confusing. But when you start to really think about this, you start realizing, yo, there's really two sides to this whole thing. And then we're actually on both sides, which really makes it a paradox for us. And then everything that we attempt to do, if we want success, then we're going to have to learn the measurements, the weights, the laws. When we spend time in learning that, that's when you're going to get the desired effect. But until then, if you go against the laws of nature, let's say he's going against the laws of nature, or he's going against the laws of the cosmos. If you're doing that and you don't actually even consider for one moment all of the aspects of the different things, which are frequencies that are actually involved, then you won't be successful. And this makes for a person that never actually gains a mystical ability and a power ability. Versus the one who starts to realize all this and realize that this stuff is put into place so billions, if not trillions, who knows, a countless number of souls across quantum realities can still maintain whatever it is that they're doing. And you just ripe now on the tree, and you're ready to now take on the full responsibility of your mother and your father. You're ready to go into balance with yourself and cause the holy matrimony. You can't just imagine that everyone is done with their labors and you're ready to ring the bell and say, okay, time's up. Everyone off physical planets and let's go all back to the cosmos. Because as the story goes, there was a few beings, and again, these are metaphors, that were already perfect. In fact, out of all the perfect ones, they were the most perfect. See, perfect is the ability to see through time, to know everything that's going to happen. So when you read, let's say in the Enochian text, you read that Semyaz, also known as Azazel, also known as Lucifer, was perfect in every right and knew the future and still decided to do the deed, to go through the labors of creating a physical reality in all of its imperfections, but also understood that all of the other beings, the ones who did not have the orbit, meaning the ability to actually see, those are far out orbits, to see the whole cycle, were going to not want to do this. So bound them to an orbit, meaning bound them to the promise that they would fulfill this task of bringing about physical life. Now, this is none other than Venus. If you look at it as a physical person, you've already lost. You've already lost the metaphor. We're talking about phi. This is why this all turns back into geometry. It all turns back into frequency. Phi-based geometry and frequencies create physical worlds. Phi-based geometry already understands the whole process of the entire encompass. That's why it says 360 degrees. That's 72 degrees times 5 creates a pentagram, 72 names of God. 7 plus 2 is 9. So what you're dealing with is you're dealing with cosmic knowledge bought into the flesh. And that's why the word did not come back void. The word is God. The word was with God. See, what they're saying is, once again, that this manifestation and creation of man and woman is none other than a projection coming from the cosmos that is subject to imperfections because it's coming as a replica. It's not actually the cosmos itself. It's an image of the cosmos. It's a projection from the cosmos. It's a birth from the cosmos. And this is why we can always say, well, yeah, we're cosmic beings and we come from the cosmos. That's 1,000% true. But the process in which ye came, meaning all the planetary systems that you've gone through, all the geometry that you've been a part of, makes up the being that you are now. And where are you going? Returning home. To maybe parsecs from now decide to do the same thing again. And this process, though, requires that you forget. Because as a most perfect being, again, using just metaphors here, you already know what's going to happen. So in a tense, it's the sheer desire then, because they say the earth is actually created on a desire. Children are generally created on desires. Right? Let's have this baby. I love this, you know, and all this desire going on. And that's what creates. So it is actually the sheer desire to experience something new. But since there's nothing new, nothing new under the sun, you have to come to this basically forgetfulness. You see, so, and then a person that said, well, you know, I'm tired of that. Okay, go cosmic. And so in that process of you going cosmic, you relearn, that's why I say remember, you put back on all the members and all the things that you had before, you put back on all your garments and your cosmic everything, and then you go there and you be there for a while until you decide to fall again. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going to forget it. I'll go back to the experience. So again, that is the cyclic process. That's sometimes seen even as the tarot. Where the innovation comes in, because some are like, oh, man, if I'm doing this all the time, how can I put the brakes on this? Or do I even want to put the brakes on this? There becomes a lot of questions. But see, that's where the innovation comes in. Because just because that's the way that every other being did it even, it doesn't mean that that's the way that you have to do it. And that's why the whole aspect of being powerful, being magical, all these different things have to do with finding the midpoint, finding the balance. You become the creator, the sustainer, and the destroyer, all in one being. That's called Trimurti. And then you learn, with based on your experiences, what you prefer. Because, see, just like we sometimes imagine that everyone thinks like us, when that's not true. You talk to people at times as if they're you, and that they're understanding things just like you, and that's not true. You have these different aspects of consciousness that some just want to go back to the cosmos. Right now, some just want to stay in the physical worlds, and they will do every single thing they can to perpetuate physical worlds. So what really matters then, what energy should be dedicated towards then, is what do you want to do? And if you want to find perfection within self, then you'll find balance. You won't find polarities. You know, I'm going to be cosmic, on a nature plane, or I'm going to be nature. And you know, those polarities are always going to have actions, reactions, withdrawals, et cetera. So hopefully, you know, that makes sense. And that's why I believe that this is a brand new time for all of us. This is something that, you know, it breaches into things that have, from what we know, never been done before. And in that, the universe, the cosmos, planets, you name it, bows to that. Because in the magnificent creation, that's really what it's about. To me, that's what it is to create a legacy. And that is what it is to be an originator. See, remember, a creator is not an originator. So these are the fundamental building blocks in English, because now there's going to be a lot. 95% of what I just said is not going to be translated the proper way just because it's English. So it actually takes you to fill in the blanks to realize how this applies to your life directly, more so than just okay, hanging on one word like, oh, well, I don't believe in that and I don't believe in this. And, you know, this is something that you can take for yourself, these pillars, these pylons, if you may, and then station them in your life and say, well, you know, straight line or curve? Is it order or is imperfection? Because the thing is also about the curve is the divine feminine. If we didn't know that, you know, you may want to go look at, you know, just that the internet's got curves all over the place these days. And it's because that's all part of the physical plane. And when you think about the divine feminine aspect, the divine feminine aspect is not interested in wanting to know the future. Okay, the feminine side of us does not get into that kind of logical stuff. It doesn't want to know all of the, you know, exact measurements between the bottom of the abyss all the way to the top of heaven. That's things that it does not actually engage in order to keep that free-flowing state of consciousness. So when we come to the last 30 minutes, when we come forward, we're going to answer some questions. And that's going to be today's completion of the show. Fullness.
Within Radio with Tom Barnes. Saturday on Truth Frequency Radio.
That's beautiful.
Okay, Honus, we are at that last 30-minute segment, and wow. So, yeah, amazing show. And you know, I will say this to everyone, because, you know, sometimes when you say certain words, you kind of trigger people. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't believe in that. But see, the thing about order is, you know, when you understand rulership, cosmic consciousness, it has a place for everything. So there's actually not one thing. Not even one word, one concept, one being, one of anything that doesn't have its place. And so the challenge in balance actually becomes for us to find the places for everything. It's like a puzzle. Hey, let me put the pieces back into place and then allow them to make sense. And if there's something that doesn't make sense in your mind, like even the devil or whatever it may be, then you should work to find the place for that. So you solve it, because then once you solve it, what you do is you actually cancel it out. This is a major part of the process of actually getting to the balanced state of your consciousness, is when you pair things. That's what I say, we'll repair it. When you pair things, you find, well, if there's a diametric opposition, then there is another side to it. And then you put them both together and then they cancel each other out. And this is actually a big part of going into the higher aspects of your consciousness, because it allows you to flow freely. It allows your energy not to be burned up in the dualistic fields. Now, remember, nature works on combustion. We've talked about that in many different shows. Like this same process of dark, light, good, evil, blah, 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 generates energy. It's the same thing that what you see in electric motors and or even in gas powered combustion motors, etc. So even the yin and the yang symbol gives you everything you need to know about the combustion motor. So it's two opposing forces coming together in order to generate energy. So in realities, whether you if you want to give a name to it, and as I said before, those names often contain thousands, if not millions of different integers that have all been summed up into one name. And you know this because even the name that you've been given in this reality, whether it's, you know, James, you know, Sean, Zachary, whatever, if you get this name, that doesn't describe the millions of millions of and billions of cells within the body and all the aspects of your consciousness and all your dreams. And I will never know that by that name that they're giving you. So I have to tap into another field that, as I said, and you only can get in that field in with going into the Zen point. And then in the Zen point, because now you're at your quantum state, you're using now your quantum abilities, then you're able to see all of the aspects, even what the person that, if they haven't tapped into the Zen point of themselves, can't see. And then, so I look to do this personally in my life because I had to put all of these different, it's like a Pandora's box. You had to put all this stuff back into the box. Like I said, at the end of the game, the chess game, I Ching, 64 spaces, et cetera, 8x8, the king and the pawn go back into the same box. So you must, when unpacking all your consciousness, this is why they say the monad split itself into all these different pieces, created duality, division, the demons, the angels, the agreeables, the disagreeables, etc. But, you know, if you stay lost in that field, it could be thousands and thousands of years. You're battling with different aspects of yourself and praising different aspects of yourself and never coming to the realization that all is self. And then when you come into that realization, it all goes back into the box and the box disappears. And then what remains is your totality. Like I said, there's no one to say, there's nothing to say because there's no one to listen. Everything is contained within your consciousness. And that's when the point where you're all powerful. You see, and this is what we're working towards. And it's not about mastering someone else and mastering external realities. In fact, you see what this is really about. This is about encompassing, fully encompassing. That's why I say, you know, who can measure the vault? Who can give me the depths and the actual measurements for the depths of the earth all the way to the top of the Arabah? You know, this becomes where those kind of things, that's what leaves legacies, not necessarily just, you know, cussing someone out and getting victory over them. Think about how petty the world has actually become, you know, just degrading someone and you know, getting on the internet and defaming them, you know, or making some kind of prank video or, you see, so that's the limitation. That's the 5% that the reality loves for us to only exhibit. And it's not just Illuminati and all that. It's the way of nature. Nature pushes a person over a continuous process to get older and to wither away. And then, but remember what we talked about, because, you know, you can go in the ancient traditions and they'll tell you this and they're very direct with it because they know it to be the truth. This kind of process actually allows you to yearn for the cosmic. If everything was all great all the time and all perfect, there's another space for that. This is for where you learn the experience and the lesson. You're like, man, you know, maybe I need to go cosmic because, you know, after not having no control over who's dying and when I die and all this kind of stuff, I don't know if I really like that. But the only way you can get to that aspect is through worlds like this. But likewise, don't be surprised if you go cosmic and if you go into, let's say you're coming out of balance of the cosmic force and you say, you know what, I'm just tired of this. I don't even want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. So now you're going into your feminine aspect. Now you're going into your physical aspect. You want to, like, no being, homie, girlfriend, boyfriend, sister, brother, whatever, comes into this planetary system without going through a female womb. I don't care if it's a frog. I don't care what it is. So that is the gateway into the physical world. As I say, the king must be ordained by the priestess or by the goddess, because no being can even come into physical realities without going through the divine feminine. And if we don't realize this, if we don't say, okay, well, yeah, that's how it works, done, let me get to my next lesson, rather than arguing, well, no, you know, man, all powerful, blah, blah, and, you know, going into the whole brain gym about it, that's where the formulas can't be created. And this is what's happening to a lot of people. They have so many misconceptions, and disinformation about things like women, Lucifer, Phi, black and white. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, where it's just only things to argue and fight with. But nothing's out of order for the physical reality, because that same arguing, that same fighting, that same friction, that same conflict is generating light and generating something that other things can exist off of. And that's why I said it's, you become the quantum processor working on your own mainframe, your own bit. In order to actually get to that next level or even beyond levels with yourself, you need to come into realization of what you, how you solve this. And so let me go into some questions. So there's a couple final statements here that I notated. Now, first of all, the reason why it's called testaments, okay, like you said, well, you know, the New Testament, the Old Testament, and that word directly corresponds to the man's testicles, is because they're seeds. And so we do have to really be careful about seeds that are planted into our consciousness, because we are receptacles until you learn how to balance yourself out to give, start balancing out your receiving with giving. You're a receptacle. And when you're a receptacle, you're always looking to receive seeds, right? And if you receive the wrong seeds, like one life seeds, GMO seeds, that's what I call them, you can get caught into these concepts of like what the testaments, the fake, false, physical world God's testicles has, those seeds in a person's consciousness, and then they begin to grow up. So this is why a lot of people who have been embedded by those kind of that state of consciousness cannot chop it down. It grows up so much in their consciousness, they can't actually separate themselves from this idea of this external God. So just remember that when you're trying to answer the question of why you can't actually get through to some of these people who've adapted some of these traditions from these testaments, is because the seed has grown up fully and they're eating from it. Because that's the other thing about, you know, as we're going to talk about with one of these questions here is, you know, how do you manifest? You know, how do you manifest what you want? Well, you plant the seed and then you maintain the seed. And then when it grows up, you got to go through all the labors of tilling it. It ain't reap thorns and thistles for you. But then once it finally grows up and then it produces, then you can actually eat from it. So many have taken these seeds from other storehouses and then planted them inside their consciousness, and then they eat from it every day. And so when it's time to chop that tree down, they feel like they're going to die or starve or be in some kind of level of misfortune because they don't have anything else to eat from. So just remember that. Also, last statement, ejaculation is for reproduction. There is an ejaculation. It's for regeneration. Anyone is capable of doing it, male or female. And this involves being able to go into a state with your body that allows you to become aroused by who you are, not necessarily external forces, but by who you are, yourself, to basically fall in love with yourself again. And, you know, not blaming yourself and thinking you're the worst person and condemning yourself, all of what the reality has brought forth. So first question is, Leah Garcia says in Esoteric Radio show number 1217 on 1217 2011, man, we've been going that long, even longer, Children of the Sun, I mentioned a matter of factly that the earth is a square, and they had a fellow seeker who asked what I meant by that and how, and they said they don't know enough to really elaborate on the answer in that person's question, and so they decided they wanted to ask me. So this is a perfect opportunity, especially for those who are stuck into the flat earth aspect of things, to address the various aspects of earth geometry. And because the truth is that the actual geometry, you know, sometimes we have to stop interpreting, as we talked about early in this conversation, things that have spiritual aspects to them from just a spiritual level, the standard Pythagorean geometry, straight line, flat lines, all these kind of things, trying to actually map out things that are ethereal. Because in a certain sense, what we can get trapped into is, and the reason why I said that is the truth, is the Earth's actual geometry is synonymous with our consciousness. And it's based on the type of programming that pervades. The strongest mind wins. So since the system has been in control by those who have been trying to square the circle for hundreds, if not thousands of years, you find Earth-based consciousness to be rather square. So that's what I meant by that. Inside the box, you find people to basically be under the persuasion of everything that the square has to do with. And that's just another show. You may have to go back in the series because I go deep into the Kaaba and I go deep into square-based, even triangular-based, foci, triangular-based geometry and what that actually equals. And it actually starts to connect into the box. The box actually becoming somewhat of a synthetic womb, a surrogate womb, and then all of what that equals. So think outside the box. The next question is the connection between current and currency. How does that work? And if I practice energy techniques, but I still don't see any real change in my financial stance? This is someone has asked that question. And the answer is we're still responsible for grounding our current. I talked about that earlier in today's show. Like if you got all this energy, now you got the red side. Now you need the black side. Now understand that the red and black is synonymous with black is the female, also known as the negative or the womb, the whole. And then the red is the masculine. Okay. So that's why black and red are actually on the taps on batteries and in the car. You know, when you cut open a wire for your stereo, black, red. Okay. There, that's a reason. So you also need the black to the red. And that's about grounding it. Now, current must be grounded or just remains in the positive state. And this means that you need to use your consciousness to tap into the purpose, your purpose and contribution to this reality. And remember, now you're setting the stage for the labors, because when you set out to do something, it ain't going to be just poof. To ground that, you're going to need to actually get on the ground. That's why it's termed that way. And I say this can be seen as discovering your seed or spark that is to be planted, not other seeds and sparks. You notice everyone will grab this book, Bibles, whatever, and they'll go and plant all these seeds for these other GMO creators. But when it comes time for them to know, well, what is your seed? What is your spark to plant within yourself so you can eat from yourself? You see what I mean? That way you can, your cup can be runneth over. When you're ready to feast, then you can generate what you feast. This is called sovereignty. So I say once planted, it becomes a tree. And then if you can manicure it, prune it, and take care of it, it'll bring forth fruit. So this is still a process. And further, we almost realize on the physical plane that there are indeed labor. So anyone looking to get things immediately without putting the work in are actually deceiving themselves. And that's not how it works. You can have anything that you want as long as you're willing to labor for it. If you're looking for someone else to do it, you will never receive it the way that you wish to receive it. So again, get the proper frequency of innovation, though. I can give you several pointers. Get the frequency of innovation, because see, there's frequency matching going on. So you can go to Kickstarter, Indiegogo, et cetera, any of those kind of platforms, and you could tap into the frequency of innovation. And then you make the simple crossover, because you're the filter that everything must come through. So you can reverse engineer technology and then go into its spiritual aspect. Didn't develop the spiritual counterpart for what it is that most people desire, and then develop that directly for the community of spiritual people who are in desperate need of your works. Like, children still need to be educated. We are yet to actually come up with things that truly educate children from a spiritual aspect. So remember, watch out for people who will come around you and say, well, no, you're not supposed to do that. Why are you going to develop something like that? You're going to sell it and blah, 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 blah. You know, these are only the people that they don't actually do anything. They just talk. But you got thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of children out here that need your innovation, and you have investors, you have angel investors, if you may, that will come to you and say, hey, you know, that sounds like a great idea. Let's make that happen. So just remember, you need that frequency of innovation. And then you've learned through the Keymaker series how to reverse engineer technology and find a spiritual component. And there needs to be more spiritual works here on the planet to assist those who don't actually have much of a spiritual aspect or have not honed in the spiritual side of themselves. The next question here is that pertaining to knowledge of the language and etymology and concepts, for example, five equals five, Venus and Phi and female six, Set and Saturn and male. And this is a reading from the question, what is this knowledge called? And where else can I find this knowledge? And how may we apply it to our life in real time? So that's the question. And the answer is, the fact is that we're pioneering many things in this age. So there's no specific name for this type of knowledge, number concept knowledge. And while I won't say that it's exclusive to just us only, what we discuss here is very unique to what I see discussed abroad, but many do choose a different kind of approach with this knowledge. But ultimately, tarot has a number concept embedded within it, and that also that knowledge also can be examined. Just remember, you know, you're examining something, so you can pull out the flaws and add in what you need to add, etc., balance it out. And as far as applying it directly to your life, you can monitor the sequences in evolution and de-evolution within your own consciousness with this type of technique. So you always have to take into account that the evolution of numbers means that basically 2, for example, is the next stage of 1 and the preliminary of the number 3. So you understand the metamorphosis of these numbers or any kind of concept. You don't actually say, well, you know, it's better to be 1 or it's better to be 2, it's better to be 3. You understand that basically 1 begets another and 1 actually comes from another. So you could merge those kind of things. Next question here is, and we're coming to the close of the conversation. Julia Yankova asks, how to accomplish getting out of the body and opening the third eye? She has been attempting to do this for quite a bit of time, hasn't been successful, and that the biggest challenge is, you know, everyday life. You know, there's an intense schedule, working several hours a day and not having much time for these techniques. And what I'll say is, first of all, to each his own, especially to the advice that I'm about to give. But if you feel like that there's just so much going on and you're not having that breakthrough, because we talked about how shells actually accumulate around a person's body. It's like the same thing as rings on a tree. And then at times, if you find yourself not breaking those shells, even some of the traditional methods of transcendental meditations and breathing techniques, etc., may not be as useful. They may not actually work. So sometimes the mind and the body have become much too rigid to accept the suggestions and the methods. So in that case, you sometimes need to break glass in case of emergency, and that would be by going on a journey, maybe the ayahuasca, maybe the DMT, maybe the peyote. And you'll find that I never really recommend such things, because I think it's really for a person to decide within their own consciousness whether they should do that. So I say that that's strictly at your own discretion. So that's my disclaimer. But sometimes you do need to pop calcified glands, and that sometimes is why a person may not be having breakthroughs within using certain techniques, because the calcification has gone too heavy around the gland. So these substances have a tendency to pop or expand that gland to allow it to free itself. And then from that point on, you find getting into certain stages during meditations and using some of those same techniques that you're using before actually work out and become a lot more vivid. The next question by Evren Koilu says, they have been expanding with the whole body breathing, and this has led to feeling orgasms throughout the body. And they ask, are they supposed to concentrate on extending the feeling of the orgasm? And my answer is, first of all, congratulations on getting to the point of self-generation, because that's exactly where you're at. And this state can actually be used to generate energy and restore the body. As we talked about, it's like an ejaculation when you're having these orgasms inside your own consciousness without any external parties. And if you want to go further with understanding how to utilize that energy, I do recommend that you absorb all of Montauk Chia's work on such as the multi-orgasmic man. Even as a woman, you know, you start to be able to cross it over very easy about what the techniques are and how far it can really expand your consciousness. The second question from Evren was that they've started having extended goosebumps. And what is the significance of that? Like, you know, you get this kind of shiver through the body. And I know exactly what they're talking about. But these extended goosebump feeling is the direct result of a heightened auric field. And it actually causes this buffer around the body. And it actually becomes visible at times. You can see probably like a 3-inch projection from the body of a rather translucent field that looks like heat coming up from a road. And this buffer causes a fuzzy arousal feeling, like someone's basically breathing on your neck or something like that. And this serves to further keep the body in an energetic field of frequency and actually stimulate it. So that's exactly what that is. The final question that I have for today is in the first Keymaker episode that I actually mentioned. They said that, well, let me read it from this. It says, you mentioned that if you are talking, you're not receiving or listening. And what about when you listen but you don't hear? What mode of thinking is this, and does this speak to the lack of divine feminine energy, or is listening but not hearing typically a male thing? And the answer to that question is listening but not hearing generally is a product of being distracted or actually lacking focus. in addition to flat out not caring about what a person is saying, just in the general sense. So, you know, that's the first thing to look at is if there's some distraction going on, meditations help one focus, etc. But it's neither a male nor female thing. You'll find that males and females do this alike. But in some cases, and actually in many cases, some don't take in information very well audibly. And this is something that, you know, you have to know about yourself is the primary form of the way that you take in information. So some take in that information via reading, like seeing words on the page. Some take in that information audibly. Some take in that information better visually. So just remember from the orifices of your consciousness, sight, hearing, taste, smell, even touch, one of those in generally in people's consciousness is more heightened than others. And then you learn to train those different aspects of your consciousness. But if you find sometimes when you're hearing things audibly, you just kind of fade out and it just all sounds like you don't even hear it or grasp anything. This means that it may be much easier for you to take it in through text or take it in through visual. And there's also tools out there to where you can take recordings like these, and while they're not perfect, you can actually run this recording through that kind of software, and then it will translate it into words, and then you can actually read it. So that's the answer to that question. So we have about 3 more minutes left. So what I'll do is I'll just take the time, because yes, this is actually the end of season 1 of The Keymaker. We're definitely going to do a season 2, and we're just going to take some, and season 3, 4, 5, you know, whatever it takes to, you know, just continue to transmit the message as always. But I also have some major plans for this year and with going quantum. And the thing is about all this is that I have been since the beginning experiencing what I'm talking about in real time. So this means that unlike the whole guru phenomena of where someone always wants to tell you what you should be doing, but sometimes not doing it themselves or standing on this pedestal as if they're a teacher of it, I actually live this every day, experience this every day, and the only thing that I've done is just transmit those experiences to you. And because of that, you've become so important in my progress, in my expansion, just as much as people have left me messages and said I've become very important in their expansion and their consciousness. And in that, we become equal. We are on balance and on par with each other. And so I want to say thanks to everyone for allowing this to happen. It's been 6 or 7 years of consistent, nonstop. You know, I really do put at least 14, 15 hours a day into bringing consciousness. And it's amazing because I still feel like that in every aspect that it is pioneering something and it is filling in a hole that has long been open and necessary to be filled. And the more people that we have that are capable of doing that, the better off the world and even other worlds will be. And I just encourage us all to ground the current, meaning to actually stay realistic with ourselves, to also don't let this become your worst enemy. Don't beat yourself up. Stay jubilant and charged in the total realization of your magnificence. And if you ever feel down for any reason, just realize that you're only operating on 5%. So start tapping into that other 95% of your quantum ability, your allotment, and what's available to you. And then you will feel the rejuvenation as we talk about pulling energy from the future. And so that's it. And man, I guess I can't say anything more that words will suffice. I want to also say thanks to Truth Frequency Radio and all the people that have come in the chat room from Truth Frequency and for allowing, you know, me to broadcast this message and, you know, keeping it real. So that's what it is. Wholeness and balance vibration to everyone. And I'll be seeing you soon.
Come to teach, come to be taught, come in the likeness in the image of God. Cause you can be like that with all that humbleness and all that.